Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Right now on VFN TV, California is experiencing a four-year drought. Farmers are in despair, and we're going to be talking about how long it takes food to get from the farms to our kitchen table, prophetic headlines, and what we can do to be prepared right now on VFN TV. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few minutes is Steve Karlaszewski, and today we want to talk about what's happening in California. Are you aware that California is experiencing a four-year drought? Many of us today go to grocery stores and we shop for our food, but do we really think about, as we're buying our groceries, our vegetables, how many miles our food travels before it arrives in our grocery store? Well, it's hundreds of miles, in some cases, even 1,000 miles. And right now, California's experiencing one of the worst severe droughts that they've ever experienced. Farmers today are in despair, and we want to be able to unpack this and talk more about all the things that are occurring, even prophetic headlines that John Paul Jackson saw in regards to food, the price of food. Listen, we can be prepared, but we can't live a life that's totally disconnected and disengaged with what's happening even in our own country. I want you to watch this special report as they share what is happening in California and all the things that the farmers are going through right now just so that we can have food to eat at home. Watch this.
Water's life out here.
Water is the key to life.
Water is the driving force.
Water is essential.
Water is everything.
Emergency water.
Water deficits.
You don't have water.
Water comes back.
Water.
Water.
Water. Water.
If without water, our area dies.
This drought has been very long-lived. It's endured since around 1999. So therefore, it's going to take more than just one good winter to bring things back to normal.
Before the drought came in, it was business as usual. I think it caught everybody by surprise. We were all expecting normal rainfall, and all of a sudden, when there is no rain, well, there is no water. And the cost per water on this ranch in 2013, it was about $3,200. And it went from $3,200 to $33,000. That is an enormous difference.
Another dry year like this and our land will be worth zero because nobody will want it. There's millions of dollars that's going to be of family wealth going to be shot because a farmer's investment is more in the land than it is in bank accounts and CDs and TDs. If the land don't have water, it's almost worthless. California's San Joaquin Valley basically feeds the whole United States and a good portion of the world.
It's the salad bowl of the world. We produce every variety of fruit, nuts, produce that anyone in the world could want. This valley would be a wasteland again if we had no water here.
We've had over 10 years of drought tendency, but I think it's going to take more than just this year to bring things more back to how they were in the 1980s.
Any day in the United States of America, almost anywhere, you can have any variety of fruit or vegetables that your little heart desires at any time. Nowhere else in the world can they do that. But we can here.
There's not a clear conscience of the consumer outside the area of where the produce in their local stores come from. Come and take a look. This is where it comes from. What this community does on a daily basis is get up very early. The biggest activity in the town goes on around 4:30 to 5:30 in the morning. And they all flee to the fields to pick citrus. I can't even begin to tell you the pain that the drought will create in the population of this area. It'll be my cousins, it'll be very dear people of mine that have worked with me for years. They will suffer. It's a bad situation.
Ojalá que se componga lo del agua, pero porque si no, pues como ahorita muchas personas de aquí se están yendo para otros pueblos, se están yendo a Washington, que es, allá sí hay buena cosecha. Entonces va a pasar lo que en Allensburg, que se va a ir toda la gente, porque el pueblo se va a quedar solo si no hay agua, ¿verdad?
I would say to these farmers in a dire situation, don't throw in the towel, don't give up. This El Nino year should kick off a series of better years. I think there's a good chance that Central California will see an appreciable alleviation of their drought situation. But of course we can hope, but we can't really objectively say there's a 100% chance.
There's a big rumor around, hope is true, that there's an El Nino year coming. And I heard somewhere that El Nino's bringing all these little cousins and all the ants. We are hoping that it happens so bad. If it doesn't happen, you can't help but to think about where you're gonna go. Follow the water. Washington State, Idaho, Oregon. Personally, I don't wanna go.
Nothing like perspective. Listen, it's time for us to have a burden for our farmers all across the country, but in particular right now for so many that are suffering and are working so hard in California so that we can have food. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about some other things that are happening in California and what we can begin to start doing so that we can pray for them, get engaged, and we can help others during this serious, serious time. More when we get right back from this break. Wow. Food.
Wow.
Food.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, Steve, is how many of us really are, you know, we think about, you know, how this food got here. We go to the grocery store, we pick up some vegetables, mm-hmm. get your kale, get your spinach, your broccoli. You go home, you have your salad, but you don't think there's a drought in California, mm-hmm. 4-year-long drought, and they're praying, they're gathering, they're saying, listen, we've got to have some water. You can do without a lot of things, but you can't do without water.
Yeah, it totally changes your perspective. If you're looking in the grocery store and you're seeing a couple items go by, you know, 50 cents, $2-3, a couple boxes, all of a sudden you see is more expensive, but what you're seeing is the fact that someone's expenses have going up 10 times in 1 year. Based off
that
of that,
amazing?
In 1 year, they said from $3,200 for the price of water to the next year being $33,000.
What farmers are paying right now in 2013, their water bill was $3,200, and it went up in mm-hmm. 1 year to $33,000. Some reports are that water accounts for 50% of their cost in terms of – that's why the almonds are so expensive. When you go to the almond store, they say that it takes 500 gallons – of water to produce 1 pound, 1 pound of almonds. And the price is going to go up, you know, even more. But it begins to give us some sort of perspective and to start thinking about, okay, since we're not a farming community anymore. In fact, some reports are that 2% of America's population produces food for the other 98%. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in that 98 percentile. You know, if I had to grow a garden, I'd be in trouble. Mm-hmm. I would be in trouble, Steve. And I think many of us would be in trouble. Mm-hmm. And we got to start, you know, looking and saying, okay, what's the big picture here? You know, what is happening? And what is the, you know, where are we headed for this? Who knew that California was the salad bowl? In fact, we have an image we want to show you of how bad this drought is. In fact, you're looking at it right now on your screen. It's affecting the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from really, really bad to bad. Mm-hmm. And we'll make sure that's related for you on the torch. But we need to begin to join our fellow citizens, the church in California. We need to pray, because they're producing food for us.
Right.
And it's very easy in today's society to live totally disconnected, you know, and not even know how our food gets in the grocery store. And did you know that 38% of all items today in your grocery store contain corn? Corn, 38% of the food items. And you'll find corn in almost everything. I mean, even our pet food has so much corn inside of it. But we got to begin to start looking and saying, okay, what is happening here?
Yeah, and when you begin to see that, and like you're saying, have a burden for those that are producing it, you'll begin to take on that responsibility of just like, help me to pray for that. Because so often we just go to the grocery store and we expect it. And just like you're hearing is the fact that nowhere else on the planet can you go to your local grocery store, go to your local market, your local town square, and pick up your heart's desire of multicolored fresh vegetables and fruits. You're not going to get that anywhere else.
No, it's amazing. You know, when I lived in New Jersey and I traveled to Manhattan all the time, you know, there was a huge truck route, and you could be in the middle of downtown, you know, Manhattan on the, you know, upper part of Manhattan. You can get fresh flowers.
Yep.
You can get all sorts of nuts and vegetables right there on the street. And we forget that
it
traveled.
That. Oh, yeah.
It traveled quite a distance to get here. But if the drought wasn't bad enough, if that wasn't bad enough, right now there are reports that thieves are stealing the nuts. We're not talking about a handful. We're talking about tractor trailer full. In fact, some estimates are 40 pounds of pistachios have been stolen from these farmers and from these areas where they, you know, they package them all, and they're taking these freights. In one county, it was 40 pounds of pistachios. In another county, it was 42,000 pounds of walnuts. And they're seeing this as a big, you know, crime syndicate. It's a whole ring that's occurring. And so California is being hit on so many fronts. In fact, they say that the number one, this is according to CNBC, the number one item in food and drink category for theft this year in 2015 was nuts and meat. It's the number one, the food items that are being stolen right now are nuts and meat. And who would have thought that all the protein would be
right,
being stolen? And we've shared this before on our program, but we got to begin to, like I said, just be thinking about this and looking at, again, the big picture. And I talk about the big picture often because I think that as a culture, we typically like to zoom in. All we see is directly what is in front of us, and we don't begin to, you know, see what's happening across the street. You know, what's happening in our own community? What's happening in our own nation? And just to know that our food travels that far away, and what they're going through, we don't want to wake up one morning basically and go to the grocery store and find out that broccoli is, you know, $50 a bushel, you know what I'm saying? Or
there's any broccoli at all.
If there's any broccoli at all, right.
Right.
I mean, you look at all these different things that are happening. Look at the price of eggs today, where because of some sort of, you know, attack on the chickens, the prices of eggs have gone up astronomical. They're very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are now starting to get chickens so that they can have their own eggs.
Oh, yes.
But it reminds me of the prophetic word that John Paul Jackson saw. But actually, before we get to that, before we do, I want to share with you a segment that, you know, Greg and I did some time ago when we talked about this very same issue, and we talked about some of the distances that food takes and maybe why this is happening. You know, we want to get context and we want to get perspective because we're going to share with you some prophetic headlines that came from John Paul Jackson that God revealed and showed him. But before we do, I want you to listen to this. We haven't seen suffering yet. We haven't seen, you know, we talked about that our Armageddon program where one of the folks that interviewed said that rich people are nice as long as, you know, they still,
until they're
rich,
not nice
yeah.
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until, you know, they're not nice anymore until they lose all their
rich
wealth.
Anymore, yeah.
You know, and
you haven't seen people not be nice until they can't eat anymore. You know, we take for granted that you can drive down the store and pick up an item, and it's
unless you've
be
been
there.
In a hurricane and understand that just the warning of a hurricane empties the shelves.
Within
imagine
a day.
It
overnight.
Well, think about this. You know, based on the scenario of what you're talking about, that that tragedy hits, and if 2% of us produce food that we eat every day that requires us to be able to function, 2% of us, which means it's very easy to break that chain. It's easy to break that, whether it's gas prices going so much that the trains and the trucks can't deliver it, whether there's some sort of earthquake or something that causes a breakage in the roads and the infrastructure, whether it is a earthquake or drought that prevents the water, which requires 50% of his budget to be able to water his fruit. I mean, it's so the fragile thing. God says, when I send drought, when I send locusts to devour your crops, and it's like, this, I truly believe that the natural crops reflecting the spiritual crops of the church.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where we're at, because you think 2%, and you think about this factor right here. 3% of the regular church attenders are the ones that are honoring God with the tithes and offerings. 3% are the ones that are actually reading their Bible and applying it. They're saying 2, but I'm sure you probably can give another percent, but at least 2% is right in the same figure, ballpark, which means 98% of America is living off 3%. You think about it, 98% of the church is living off 3%.
Yeah.
How long is that paradigm? I'm looking right here at BuzzFeed when it talks about, you know, apples travel an average of 1,555 miles from the farm to your table. I mean, think about that.
Wow.
That's amazing. So you eat an apple, you don't even think about it.
Where it came from.
But that's a lot of trucks, a lot of trains. That's a lot of touching, and which means that when the economy stops, you're not going to see an apple.
Mm-mm.
When the bee don't show up, you're not going to have an apple. It's not going to be pollinated.
Mm-mm.
Asparagus travels an average of 1,671 miles, they report, from the farm to your table. 1,671 miles.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not if the economy gets hit, are you going to drive 1,671 miles for asparagus? You're not going to have apples and asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots travel an average of 1,774 miles from the farm to your table. An average of that, which is roughly the same distance from Five Points, California to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's how far it takes to get it there.
Mm-hmm.
Broccoli travels, I'm sure a lot of you don't care about how it is, but broccoli travels an average of 2,095 miles from the farm to your table. Think about that. Broccoli sitting on your plate. That's why you pray over your food, because you have no idea.
A lot of these places, a lot of this food's coming from California. What happens with California?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, which is, and you also have grapes. Grapes travel an average of 2,143 miles from the farm to your table. Think about this.
Sorry, Steve.
Yeah. that people say, well, I don't have grapes. What does grapes go in? I mean, it's in so many different things. Yeah. Lettuce. I mean, think about all the salad bars in America, right? Mm. Lettuce travels an average of 2,055 miles from the farm to your table, which is roughly the same distance from, what's that, Yuma, Arizona to Charlottesville, Virginia?
Mm. Wow.
Onions travel an average of 1,774 miles from the farm to your table. Peaches travel an average of 1,674 miles from the farm to your table. Tomatoes travel an average of 1,369 miles from the farm to your table.
Amazing.
Orange juice travels an average of 1,220 miles from the farm to your table. Understand this. That when we've been talking about, and it's going to be made available to you, and you might be able to get, I don't know now, VFNTV.com, and listen to it, that you need to prepare. You need to prepare. A prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. Listen, you're not going to get no carrots. They're just not going to come. It's going to take a while to reboot this thing. And despite what people tell you, how much they love you when they're delivering the milk, if they don't get a paycheck, they're not going to bring milk to you.
That's right.
Even if milk sits on the shelf and rots, they're not going to show up to check you out at the clerk, because it's the currency causes things to flow.
Mm.
And If you haven't yet heard, how do I prepare? How do I prepare for what's coming? You need to hear prudent preparation.
Who knew, Steve? Who knew that California would be the salad bowl, is a salad bowl of the world, much less the country, and that they're experiencing, this is a four-year drought. I know the governor of California, they're trying to reduce water consumption by 25%, and they're trying to get everyone, listen, don't waste the water. I remember being in Israel, and we were in a hotel, and someone knocked on the door, and Israel knows about this. One of the managers, someone from the hotel came up and said, hey, you know, I guess they knew we were Americans, and said, we try to conserve water, and it was kind of telling us about some things we can do about water, and that was shocking to me when I first heard that, because we live in America, and we have so much waste, and we use so much, and do we really need all of that? But Israel is amazing. I mean, they have how do you call it?
Desalinization.
There you go. Desalinization, and they can extract all the salt. They have this technology that extracts the salt from the water, and maybe we can get that over to California.
I don't know if it was the year before or 2 years ago that it was the first time that Israel went from a deficit to a water surplus.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So if it can happen in the Middle East, it could happen here, but we need the intervention of God. When we think about, when we're talking about food in the year 2015, and we're talking about there's a drought, and if there's no water, there's no food. And you got to start looking at the big picture. This is just something that we're thinking about today. But I don't know if you're aware of this, that a third, one out of nine people in the world go to bed hungry. Oftentimes when you hear people say, especially young people, there's no food here. What they're normally saying is there isn't any junk food. We don't have any cookies. We don't have any ice cream. But many people don't have food. Food for sustenance, food for living. And it's a pretty important thing when you don't have food to eat. I think about the children in Haiti that their hair begins to start turning colors because they don't have the nutrients in their own in their body. They're not eating. And we have some friends that feed children in an orphanage, but they're only able to feed children every other day right now, every other day. And can you imagine a parent making sure that their child goes to get food? And by the way, the food is rice and beans every day, same thing every day, rice and beans. And they're happy. And so we got to get back to having a heart of gratitude. We got to get back to being thankful every day. Do we pray a really quick prayer, if we even pray at all, when we have food sitting at our table? Do we take the time to really thank God that someone worked the fields, that someone prepared it, shipped it, canned it, boxed it, sent it, stocked it, so that we can go pick it up, prepare it, and cook it, and serve it? There's a whole lot of things that went into the process of food before we take the fork to our mouth. And we have to get back to thankfulness. It reminds me, as I said before we went to break, that my daughter during Thanksgiving said, Dad, we're having a feast. She had a feast at school. And I said, yes, we are having a feast.
That's right.
And a lot of us spent time thanking God. But we need to be living a life of gratitude, not for waiting for a season of the year or a day in the year, but living a life that every day, no matter what we have, we are so appreciative and are so thankful to the Lord. And we can start looking at what are we doing in terms of waste. I want you to see this image because National Geographic did a story about how one-third of the food that's produced is being lost. It's being just either wasted, but it's not arriving to people. Once you look at this image here of 1475, as you'll see a refrigerator. Now, the one-sided refrigerator has a lot of containers, probably the average American, you know, refrigerator. The other side has some really good healthy food in there. It's really good stuff. But what they're saying is that because Americans today are eating out so much, and they'll come home with leftovers and they'll stick it in the refrigerator, Steve, that oftentimes
It doesn't get eaten. Or you forget it at the table when you go to walk
out
of the restaurant.
Right. It's in the refrigerator, it's spoiling, and you've got to throw it out. You don't even know what's in there. And this is a recent new phenomenon because years back, it used to be a really special treat to be able to go out for dinner. You know, when a family went out some time ago, some many years ago,
It would be to celebrate a birthday, a promotion, something special that happened in the family. And they would go out to dinner. And what marketers found out, that how can we help the American people to experience those good, wonderful times more often? And so they started marketing and producing these fast food chains, and restaurants were popping up all over the place where families now can go out and have a meal and experience that joy of fellowship and doing that. Well, because of that, it produced a major, you know, need for farmers to produce food en masse. And there's so much in this. I mean, sometimes there's some of these farmers are saying that it costs more. It costs more to actually harvest the food than it is to, you know, so they let the harvest spoil because it costs too much money than what they actually can make selling.
Oh, wow.
It. And so there's so many things happening. Listen, we want to be thankful. We want to be appreciative. And we want to stand with our farmers in America. We want to stand with them. We're talking about food. We're talking about waste. We're talking about how there's a drought in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to wake up.
Oh, yeah.
We need to have thankfulness and gratitude. A part of that National Geographic story, Steve, says an American family of four trashes an average of $1,484 worth of edible food each year.
Wow.
And I would tend to think it's a lot more. I mean, that's just what they were able to calculate.
Average, right.
But that's an average of $1,400 a year. You think about what can you do with $1,400? You can do quite a bit. When you consider that a third of the world is actually going hungry, and are we actually praying and thanking the Lord for this? But, you know, as you've been thinking about this, maybe you haven't thought that much and you're saying, okay, there's awareness. Well, I want to share some prophetic headlines that John Paul Jackson received in a vision. He saw these newspapers that would twirl and then they would stop. And then the Lord showed him what would be headlines in the news. The first one is food prices, and you're probably seeing an image here, food prices lead nations escalating inflation woes. Food prices lead nations escalating inflation woes. Listen, could food prices go higher and higher and higher? This is what he saw. The second thing he saw in regards to food was Cisco Company and Kraft considers guards on delivery trucks as food nears 40% of the family budget. Can you imagine 40% of your family's budget? Almost half.
Just food.
Dedicated on just being able to eat. Just being able to provide fuel for your family. This is what's coming. And listen to this. Mm-hmm. Higher security guards just this year in Venezuela, they're having all kinds of issues there in that country where truck drivers that drive food, what they came across were people that were throwing all kinds of debris in the roads, causing their tires to blow out. And when they would get out to fix the tire, they were being ambushed and food was being stolen. Some reports are that some of these guys said they refused to.
They won't even transport food anymore because it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
They'll only transport plastics.
Only want to transport plastic. They don't want to, you know, transport food. You want to be prepared. It's wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's wisdom to have something set aside. How fragile is food? And I think about the scriptures. I think about 2 Chronicles 7:13. Because we're talking about California's four-year drought. Not 1 year. It's 4 years. And I think about 2 Chronicles 7:13. We often, you know, can quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, but verse 13 says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. We've got to ask ourselves, did we bring this upon ourselves? Is this the judgment of God?
Mm-hmm.
God is the one that shuts up the heavens. He's the one that causes things to grow. And we've got to begin to start looking and saying, Lord, have we sinned?
Mm-hmm.
And crying out to God. The good news that in California is that several clergy and members of the church have gathered to pray for rain.
Yeah.
But in our praying, we need to be able to look inwardly and look to say, where do we need to repent? Where do we need to turn? Listen, we can do without a lot of things. We can't do without food. But most importantly, we can't do without God.
God is the one that sustains us. He's the one that provides us. He's the one that does every single thing for us. And so if we continue to live outside of God and turning our backs to him, talking to the church, it's not going to be good for us. It's if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them. Then I will hear their land. And so this is a perfect opportunity for us to do that. Listen, we want to pray with you. We ask you, please pray for us. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that we could actually be talking about this here today, that we can be sharing about what is happening. We ask you, Lord, to touch California, God, that you would ascend the rain, Lord, that you would cause, Lord, food to grow. But Lord, help us, Lord, to turn our hearts to you. Help us to have a heart of dependency, a heart of gratitude, and help us, Lord, not to live independently of you. We ask for your forgiveness, dear Lord. We ask you, dear God, to end abortion and send revival in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.